www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 4. Right here tonight, we're bringing you live. Rhett Titus will be on the air just shortly, but I'm going to kick it to my co-host. Right here is Will TLD Vasquez. How you doing tonight, Will?
Ooh, I am doing wonderful. It's definitely been a very interesting 24, 48 hours in the world of pro wrestling, hasn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. But right now, let's cut straight to business.
I want to bring in
who we've been promoting for a couple weeks. He is the former Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion that will be competing in the semifinals of the tournament to crown a new champion, that quite frankly, he never lost. He never lost these belts. He's going to be teaming up with Charlie Haas this weekend. A Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor 10, Rhett Titus. It's great to have you on PWP Radio. How you doing tonight, Rhett?
Hello! And it is great to be on PWP Radio. I'm doing quite well, quite splendid, feeling pretty good. How about all you guys?
Well, we're doing great tonight, Rhett. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And let's
Thanks
get right
for
into
having
it.
Me.
You got it, man. Let's get right into it. Titus TV. Pretty much came out of nowhere. I didn't see any announcements for it, but it's been fantastic. I love it. I've been simulcasting it on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. How did Titus TV come about?
Thank you for the kind words about it as well. Well, pretty much, on the heels of the whole, Kenny King leaving Ring of Honor thing, I just kind of wanted to do something new and do something fresh and do something different. And so pretty much I taught myself how to edit. From the early episodes, you can see that, I wasn't very good. But, I'm kind of getting a little bit better. I taught myself edit, got a camera, started doing a whole bunch of little things just to, keep my name out there and stay relevant with things and just do something different. I've been enjoying doing it a lot. You can see it at youtube.com/RhettTitus. This week will be the 9th episode. I do an episode every week, and it keeps me entertained. I like doing it, and I have a fun time and enjoy doing it. So I think it's going to be something that's going to be around for a while.
Absolutely. It seems like you're having a great time doing it, and that has to be a huge part of why you're continuing it. And right now, as we all know, it's really tough to get a following. So you just started the show. You're going to keep it going, and it's going to get a bigger following as it goes on. Right now, I just want to ask you about your time training at the ROH Wrestling Academy. I saw a press release that they're going to be conducting new classes pretty soon. How was your time at the ROH Academy?
It was great. I got to learn from a lot of good guys. I learned a lot from Austin Aries and Daniel Bryan and Ricky Reyes and Chris Hero and Delirious and a lot of guys came through that school where they're just training for a little while, a few weeks or always helping out. You never know who's going to show up, and I think that when the school opens back up, it's going to do pretty well. Hopefully with the right advertising and everything, and if there's some hungry talent out there looking to get trained or looking to further their training, if they've already been trained somewhere else, trying to take that training to the next level, the Ring of Honor Dojo is the place to do it at, and I am living proof of it.
Absolutely. I read something online recently about how during your time at the ROH Academy, you weren't a real big fan of Daniel Bryan and his training techniques. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Austin Aries had his style was, I'm not here to be a personal trainer. I'm here to be a wrestling trainer. And, you can do all your lifting and all that stuff on your own. And I'm going to teach you wrestling, which I thought was really cool. Because me and Grizzly Rebel, we were the only two guys in the class, and you know, we showed up in good shape, and so, you know, we knew what we had to do to, you know, stay fit and whatnot. But with Brian's training, you know, you get there and, you know, you have to do a whole bunch of squats and, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, push-ups and all these different calisthenics, and, you know, before you even, you know, got to learn any wrestling. And then, you know, once you started learning wrestling, you're, you know, quite tired from, you know, all the calisthenics that you'd previously done. And, you know, Brian was like a real stickler to being on time and stuff. Everybody had to be in the ring at 5 o'clock. And I remember one time, it was all the time that I'd be coming from work and I'd always be late. So I'd always have to, you know, do extra of everything more than everybody else because I was late. I was being punished. So I remember one time I was coming from work and I was like, man, I could be in the ring at 5 o'clock, but I'm not gonna have my boots on or anything. So on the way to school, you know, I put my boots on, put my knee pads on, and got all ready. And so while I was driving, so once I got up to the ring and right at 5 o'clock got in the ring, I was like, yes, you know, made it here. And I guess I stepped in some mud or something on the way out, and Brian was like, who brought mud into the ring? And I was like, what? And I look at the bottom of my shoes, and I'm like, oh. And there's all mud prints all over the ring. So, you know, I wound up getting in trouble anyways.
Well, going back still to your early days in Ring of Honor, one of my favorite feuds as being a fan of Ring of Honor, and I really started getting really into the product around 2007, 2008, and your feud with Delirious over Daisy Hayes was not only hysterical, but it showed the world how charismatic you can be. Tell us a little bit about your feud with Delirious over Daisy Hayes and how that came about.
That's pretty cool. You know, I made my debut at the first ever Ring of Honor show at Hammerstein Ballroom, which was like, you know, a huge deal to me because upstairs, you know, when we were running the grand ballroom upstairs, I had never even been on one of those shows. So I was always dying to get on one of those shows. So the thought of being on, you know, Hammerstein was, you know, preposterous. And I remember showing up to the building that day and I set up the ring and did my normal thing. And, you know, I left and got some Chipotle and, you know, had a few beers and came back to the building, and Gabe Sapolsky at the time had told me that, you know, I was going to be on the main show that night, and I was like, what, you know? And I found out, you know, what I was going to be doing, and it was awesome, you know. It was a great little feud to really get my name out there, and it was good because, you know, Delirious was the head trainer at the school, so it made, you know, put a good spotlight on the school, and, you know, I was, you know, graduate coming out of school, so it was good, you know, for everybody, and you know, really you know, helped me get along, and a lot of people see me and you know, see what, you know, I can bring to the table. And yeah, that was just the start of me and Ring of Honor.
It was absolutely fantastic feud. It's something I'll always remember. I remember being at a show in Edison a couple years back, and you and Daisy even pulled something before the show even started in the concession area, which was just a little added thing that it was just fantastic. It was great. And on that note, tell us a little bit about your time with working for Gabe Sapolsky. I know he started the World Wrestling Network with Evolve and Dragon USA and some other companies. How was it working with Gabe during your time in Ring of Honor?
I think when I first started wrestling, like, Gabe had some, like, high hopes for me. And my seventh match was against Chad Collier. And Chad Collier, great wrestler. And I just, you know, like, I shit the bed. It was just a really bad match, and it was all my fault. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of opportunities after that. And I remember, like, a few months right before the whole angle with Delirious had happened, Gabe had came up to me and was like, was like, you know, after a show, and he came up to me and was like, well, maybe you should just, you know, go out and try out for the WWE or something, implying, like, you know, I didn't really have what it takes to be in Ring of Honor. And I was like, I was kind of offended, and but, you know, it just made me want it that much more. It's, you know, someone saying, you know, that, you know, I'm not good enough to be here or whatnot. And a few months later, you know, he was booking me and, you know, using me on, you know, all the shows. So, you know, it was cool to, you know, change his mind on things and, you know, realize, you know, how much of a talent I truly am. And, but, you know, and, you know, with that Delirious angle, I got to work with him a little bit, and he was cool, and, you know, I always had a lot of good ideas and a lot of fresh ideas, and, you know, I was always trying to be on the cutting edge of things, and, but, you know, shortly after that, Angle had, you know, kind of climaxed. He got let go, so, you know, then it was a change of ways with Adam Pearce coming in.
And shortly after that took place, when Adam Pearce became the booker, you joined up with Kenny King as the All Night Express. Talk about how that tag team came about. Who are the brains behind the All Night Express? How did that start happening?
Well, actually, I think it was an idea of Sugarfoot that he had mentioned to Adam, and Adam liked it and went with it. And, you know, I didn't really like Kenny at first, honestly. And Kenny didn't really like me. Kenny wasn't too happy that he was going to be paired with someone at a, you know, ROH school, and, you know, he wanted to, you know, do his own thing. And I didn't like Kenny because there was a time at, it was actually at the Man Up pay-per-view, which was on my birthday in Chicago, you know, September 15th, like 2007, I believe, something like that, where Kenny had a match with him and Chase Ransford, Brent Albright, and BJ Whitmer. Early in the night, I had a pre-show match. I believe it was me and somebody versus Bobby Dempsey and Silas Young. And right before my match, I was doing push-ups, and, you know, Gabe was watching me do the push-ups and was looking impressed at how many push-ups I was doing, you know, getting my pump on. I was like, all right, you know, maybe this will lead to something. And here comes Kenny King. He, you know, kind of struts in, and he's like, shit, I ain't even gotta do push-ups to get a pump on before my match. And, like, then, like, Gabe just kind of looked at me like a schlep for doing push-ups before my match. And I was like, this fucking guy, like, you know, how dare he, like, you know, do that. And so I wasn't too excited about the thought of teaming with him, but I was like, whatever, you know, I got a spot still. I'll see what I can make of it. And the rest is history.
Absolutely. And I feel like Jim Cornette, during that feud, that when you teamed up with Kenny and you were kind of the proteges of Austin Aries during that time on HDNet, a TV show, Jim Cornette kind of helped it come along a little bit. I felt like he was kind of a deciding benefactor in the push of the All-Night Express. What are your thoughts about Jim Cornette in that time during the HDNet era of Ring of Honor?
It was cool because, you know, he's got his old school style to him, and he's always got, you know, all these great ideas, and, you know, has a million different scenarios and things to do of all his years wrestling and managing. But you know, Austin Aries had kind of wanted to step back and be more of a manager, and they dubbed this as the All Night Express as a knock on Jim Cornette. And that was when, like, you know, the company had really decided to get behind us. And, you know, before that, we were kind of like, you know, a little mid-card act, and, you know, no one ever really thought much of us. But, you know, we had, you know, had a lot of good matches and along the way, and it was time for us to take the next step. And, yeah, Jim Cornette, I think, you know, helped a lot with that, as, you know, he saw a lot of talent in me and Kenny, and, you know, and all the possibilities that he could do with it. So I think, you know, he might have, you know, told Adam Pearce a little something. But, you know, Adam had always knew that we were very, very, both very talented. It's why he had put us together in the first place.
Well, I got to tell you a quick story about Austin Aries. I actually met Austin Aries at a TNA house show the night before you and Kenny had your Ladder War 3 match against the Briscoes. And I met Aries, and I actually asked him this straight up. I said, Austin, what do you think of your boys, Rhett and Kenny, main eventing their first iPay-per-view tomorrow night? And he literally said, he goes, who? Those guys still wrestle? And he was doing it in typical Austin Aries heel fashion. But on that note, what do you think about Austin Aries and the success he's having in TNA currently?
I'm happy for him. That's my trainer. It's kind of surreal to see him, on TV, doing all these promos with Hulk Hogan and stuff. I'm very happy for him. There's many times where, everybody in wrestling just told him, from, WWE not wanting to sign him and, the whole Ring of Honor letting him go. And, he was about to walk away from wrestling, and then he got that one opportunity with TNA and, made the most of it. And now, less than 2 years later, he's a TNA world champion. So, and he's the top guy and the top face of the company. So it speaks volumes on him, as, they always say the cream always rises to the top.
Absolutely. It's a tremendous story, and it's really a testament to show you that no matter how hard you work, just never give up. Just keep going, and something will definitely happen. And that's something we're seeing out of you, Rhett, because from watching Titus TV, I'm seeing that you're wrestling all over the place, different promotions. It seems like every single weekend you have a different match somewhere. I know you just wrestled in the Chris Candido Memorial J-Cup, which you won a few years ago. Tell us a little bit about your work outside Ring of Honor and where we can find Rhett Titus in the near future.
As far as in the automatic near future, October, there's this new little wrestling promotion coming around, Infamy Wrestling in Maryland. It's like October 28th. The rest of October, I'm with Ring of Honor. But November, I'll be back. I had the PWX Heavyweight Championship for a little less than a year. Then I lost it to Caleb Conley. That's down in North Carolina and South Carolina. They got the big Matt Hardy versus Kevin Steen match coming up. I'll be back there shortly. I did a few NWS shows with the Chris Candido Memorial Cup. I'm just having a brain fart right now. I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but you'll see on Titus TV as I'll, give all my dates and appearances on there. So you'll see. Very sure.
I'm gonna swing it over to my co-host Will Valtita. So I have a couple questions for you about Ring of Honor. Will, go ahead.
Hey, Titus, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, Will. How you doing, brother?
Doing really good. So I'm here to ask the really tough questions tonight that all the fans want to know. So
right.
I'm going to start with one that's one for me is that I first saw you at Fort Sun number 9. I was there with Jay and myself, and saw you in that ladder match. It was phenomenal. What do you think was so special about the show? Because a lot of people still talk about that, and, there was not one championship match on that entire show. So tell me what your feeling was about that.
The fact that there was no championship matches on the show kind of made it that much more important to really deliver and send the fans home happy. And the ladder match, it was just brutal. Everybody was, bleeding like crazy, and except for Kenny, of course. but we all just really went out there and, almost damn near killed each other and had an awesome match. And, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards, 45 minutes Ringmaster Challenge, awesome match as well. And there was a lot of stuff on the undercard too that really shaped that. And everybody really wanted to have a great show and a great pay-per-view. And, the name Death Before Dishonor really rang true that night.
And one thing about, I did a little bit of wrestling on the side, and I was big into tag team wrestling. And one thing that is a lost art form today that it seems like Ring of Honor really puts a lot of emphasis on is the tag division. And, you know, what's your opinion of tag wrestling today, where back in the day when you had so many teams where they were like the highlight of the show, where tag wrestling today doesn't really get that much push anymore? It's like a lost art form in a way, but Ring of Honor really tries to get that back. You know, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I, you know, loved tag team wrestling. You know, I grew up in an era where, you know, there was, you know, the Legion of Doom and Demolition and Powers of Pain and, you know, the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and the Rockers and the Brainbusters and the Fabulous Rougeaux, and, you know, you just go on and on all day about all these great tag teams and, you know, all the great matches they had. And, you know, you don't really see that much anymore. I mean, it seems like WWE is trying to put a little more emphasis on their tag teams, but, you know, it's always very stop and go with them, you know. But Ring of Honor, one thing that they always had is a very strong tag division, and it's always been a feature part of Ring of Honor shows, as you can see, you know, from the Ladder War and, you know, the ROH Championship being defended in the main event so many times. Ring of Honor has always tried to feature it, and it's one of the things that makes Ring of Honor different, is because, you know, you'll go to a Ring of Honor show and there'll be, you know, four or five tag teams on the show that, you know, really exemplify everything that is great about tag team wrestling.
I totally agree. Now, one thing that, speaking of that, you know, one thing that Ring of Honor, I think, always has, and this is just opinion of mine, that they always have a hard time appealing to a masser audience. I don't know if it's only because there's not as many characters on TV, or there's not many, you know, maybe it's too violent sometimes. I mean, what's your opinion on some people not really, what can Ring of Honor really do to get a mass audience appeal? I mean, is this deal with, you know, the deal they have now working out, or do you think they need to do something more?
I mean, I think the deal right now that they have with Sinclair is great, you know, because, you know, I actually go to the cities where, you know, Ring of Honor is on TV and on Sinclair channels, and I'll be sitting in my hotel, you know, watching Family Guy, and, you know, here comes, you know, a Ring of Honor ad come up on the TV, and, you know, there's my face right there, and then later on, you know, Ring of Honor will be on later, you know, and all these commercials for all the time, every hour, and these are, you know, your Channel 9s, your Channel 11s, and, you know, your local channels that everybody gets. And, you know, even the pay-per-views are very well advertised on the channels as well, on the house shows. So they're definitely advertising a lot, so, you know, as I see it firsthand. And I think as more and more people, you know, start to find out about it, start to see it for themselves, that they'll see what the difference is, and that there's a true alternative to, you know, what you're used to, and that there's, you know, all these, you know, young, hungry guys ready to, you know, rip each other's heads off and, you know, go all out to please the fans and win the match, that they'll fall in love with Ring of Honor just like, you know, everybody else has fallen in love with Ring of Honor.
And there's just one last question to ask, and I completely understand if you don't want to talk about it. What was your opinion when Ken and King showed up on TNA?
Is this real life? it was just like, damn, what's going to happen next? Like, you know, because, you know, I found out that morning, and I was just like, wow, shocked and, you know, kind of worried and not really knowing what was going on. And it was just crazy, you know, because it's just something you didn't expect. And just as we got, you know, those Ring of Honor tag titles, we, you know, got them taken away just as quick. It was just crazy, weird feeling, and, you know, I got a million different weird calls that day, and it was just craziness. And it's not something you really want to go through, But, you know, it happens, and, you know, it's great for Kenny. You know, he signed a contract with TNA, so it's awesome for him. And I'm extremely happy for him, and, you know, wish him nothing but best of luck over at TNA. And, you know, he'll continue to make an impact over there, and, you know, I'll keep doing my thing over in Ring of Honor. And, you know, it's I'm very happy for him. It's a good thing for him, and you know, I see him to continue to rise up the ranks over at TNA and do a great job over there. And I'll be sitting there watching, going, "That's my dog," the whole time.
Well, Brett, you are doing your thing in Ring of Honor. You've been doing it damn well these last, I'd say, you know, 2 years. You've been really impressing everybody over the internet, and the other night, you had a big match, probably one of the biggest matches of your career, I would say. I don't know what you're going to say about it, but it was a six-man tag inside a steel cage. It was you teaming up with your arch nemesis, Briscoes, against the group of scum, which is Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, and Jimmy Jacobs. Talk a little bit about that match.
That was my first steel cage match, so I got to pop my cherry there. It was weird, you know, teaming up with the Briscoes, as, you know, we've had so many crazy fights and battles and spilled so much blood along the way that now that we had to watch each other's backs and fight off Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, and Jimmy Jacobs. And on the other side of the cage was Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, and Jimmy Jacobs. One was the Ring of Honor World Champ, is the Ring of Honor World Champ, Kevin Steen, and Steve Corino. You know, he's a guy that, you know, I looked up to as a kid. Steve Corino was my favorite wrestler growing up, and, you know, who inspired me to become a professional wrestler. So it was cool, you know, kicking his ass all over the cage. And Jimmy Jacobs, you know, you go back to the first ever Ring of Honor cage hostility that took place in Connecticut in 2007, and I wrestled Jimmy Jacobs on that show. And, you know, and fast forward, now we're wrestling again in this big six-man tag cage match. It was cool. You know, a lot of blood was spilled, a lot of craziness happened, and it was a big old brawl, a big old fight, and lots of fun. And, you know, the fans in attendance in Charlotte seemed to love it, and it was a great old time. Briscoes and Red Tights kicked some ass, and, you know, took down the scumbags.
Well, I can't wait to see it myself. That's something I'm definitely going to look for. But we have a few minutes left, and I just want to ask you a little bit about this coming weekend. You've been tagging with Charlie Haas. Charlie Haas has been kind of out there lately in Ring of Honor. His character's been a little nutty, a little crazy. I know Shelton Benjamin's going to be in your corner in the semifinals of the ROH World Tag Team Title Tournament. Tell us about this. Talk a little bit about Charlie Haas. And is this a future tag team for you? If you guys hold, get these straps, which I'm pretty confident it could happen, is this a future for Red Titus?
The agreement that me and Charlie had made when we agreed on tag teaming was that if we did win, that we're going to fight it out at the end, and the winner will get both belts. A lot of people ask me why I picked Charlie Haas. Charlie Haas picked me, actually, kind of. And there wasn't really anybody else for me to choose at the moment. Everybody else was kind of off doing different things and had different partners and whatnot. So you can't deny the guy's credentials and experience. And I felt like Charlie Haas was kind of a surefire way to, you know, make myself a two-time Ring of Honor World Champion. Now, Shelton Benjamin's going to be in the corner. I'm going to have to keep an eye on my opponent and an eye on the back of my head and watch Shelton Benjamin's ass, just in case him and Charlie are up to something sneaky. And, you know, facing the Briscoes in the semifinals, which, just buried the hatchet, just teamed up with them last week to face Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, and Jimmy Jacobs. And now got to go all the way back into the whole fighting the Briscoes thing and fight them once again. And I've been quite married to them for the past year, Death Before Dishonor. If you look at Death Before Dishonor last year, I fought them. And if you go back the year before that, no, I didn't fight. That was Glory by Honor. But every time around September, it looks like Red Titus and the Briscoes are locking horns. So that would be good to go down memory lane and fight them out. And there's two other teams left, Steve Carino and Jimmy Jacobs, who if they don't win, they will lose their ROH career. So it's going to be another chance to get rid of Steve Carino and Jimmy Jacobs and help out ROH and its crusade against evil and scum. And also there's Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, the younger team, the younger experienced team, which I'm not completely sold on yet. Yeah, they got, you know, a lot of cool moves and they work together really well, but I don't think that they are able to take down the evil tactics of Steve Carino and Jimmy Jacobs. But, you know, they can be, you know, the wild card team and, you know, win it all and be the new ROH tag champions. You don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be crazy. Will the Briscoe brothers be 8-time Ring of Honor tag team champions? I don't think so, because to do that, they're going to have to beat me and Charlie Haas, and I don't see that happening come Chicago. So there's a lot of different scenarios. Also, Adam Cole defend the TV title against Mike Mondo. Plus, you got the debut of ACH as he takes on Kyle O'Reilly. Davey Richards will be in the building. Just announced is Matt Hardy signing autographs. Kevin Steen will be defending the Ring of Honor world title against Rhino. The House of Truth will take on the returning Irish Airborne, and in the spot for the Survivor of the Fittest qualifier, it's going to be Silas Young returning to take on Tadarius Thomas, who has been very impressive in his few Ring of Honor experiences. So there's a whole bunch of things that's going to be going down on September 15th, this Saturday, at ROHWrestling.com. September 15th is also going to be my 25th birthday. So how fitting would it be to win my Ring of Honor tag team title for the second time? I think the story writes itself there, fellas.
You're absolutely right, Rhett. And we want to thank you and wish you good luck this weekend. Thanks for joining us here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Any final words for the audience listening?
Thank you for you guys for, you know, having me on here. I would just also like to say that if you are not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rhett Titus ANX. That's RHETTITUSANX. Also, go ahead and subscribe to me on YouTube, youtube.com/RhettTitus. And also like me on Facebook, facebook.com/RhettTitus. And if you're interested in booking me, you can email me at RhettTheThreat@Hotmail.com. That's RHETTDATHREAT at Hotmail.com. And make sure to keep up with Titus TV on YouTube and keep supporting that, watching that, and a lot of good things are going to be happening in the next few weeks on Titus TV, so you don't want to miss it. But thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Rhett. Thanks a lot for calling in. We do appreciate it, and have a great one, Rhett. Take care.
You too, fellas. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Rhett Titus, ladies and gentlemen, and great interview. It exceeded expectations on my end. I don't know what you think, Will. Tell us a little bit about what you think about Rhett Titus and what's going on with Ring of Honor right now.
Well, you know, I haven't, you know, ever since the one show where I went to that show, Ring of Honor, I was very disappointed in what the outcome was. You know, I mean, I always do love Ring of Honor. You know, I did love the show when I went. I had a good experience, a bad experience. And, you know, but, you know, definitely that ladder match really entertained me as far as the tag team division in Ring of Honor is really, really strong, you know, and they really, and you know, this tournament was a new refresh I think it needed. So, you know, it's definitely good for that. You know, unfortunately, I haven't been keeping up with Ring of Honor, you know, just because I had a very bad taste in my mouth the last time I went to a show of theirs. But overall, I think he was a great interview. You know, he definitely brought up some things that, you know, happened in his past, and, you know, but he still has a very positive outlook on his career, you know, which is always a good thing. He didn't let this one situation bring him down, which is good.
Well, don't forget, folks, you can call in at 760-888-5749. That's 760-888-5749. And right now we have a caller that's been on hold for about a half hour. Sorry about that. But 908 area code, you're on with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What do you got to say? What's your name and where you're from?
What I got to say is you're graced with the second celebrity on your radio show tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. The second biggest star, Pro Wrestling Respect, The Midge, is on with you guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, Midge. It's great to hear you calling in to PWP Radio. Would you like to stay on with us tonight? Because we're going right into Monday Night Raw last night. You want to stay on with the panel tonight?
I will stay on for as long as I can.
We have no room.
All right, Midge. Thanks a lot. But right now, like I said, we're going into Monday Night Raw, and last night was a... I'm going to say emotionally draining episode of Monday Night Raw. It was tough to watch. I got that sick feeling in my stomach when I saw what had happened with Jerry the King Lawler. And it's something that even right now as I talk about it, I'm going back and thinking about how I felt. And it was a horrible feeling because of the emotional attachment that us as wrestling fans get to these guys that we watch compete and do everything they can to entertain us on a week-to-week basis. And Jerry Lawler is somebody that we've all watched in some capacity since the early 90s. And hearing the news of him suffering a heart attack live on Monday Night Raw was devastating. And I hope, I'm just going to say it right now, I hope for his full speedy recovery. I hope everything's okay. I know he underwent successful heart surgery today. And here's to you, King. I really hope that you pull through this and you get back to where you were. Will, give us your thoughts on what happens.
You know, I was watching Raw late because I was at work, and, you know, I was starting to get some weird messages from everybody about what was going on. And, you know, it looked like an angle from what you guys were telling me. And then when I actually watched it and I heard the noises in the camera and, you know, then the silence was very obvious, you know, and the fans looking over, you could see something was definitely wrong. And, you know, it's surprising because imagine, you know, he just had a match not like, what, a half hour or an hour before that? And that's a scary thought that what if, you know, that happened during that match or, you know, it didn't happen with the commentary. You know, it was just a very scary, surreal thing. And right away you go back to 1999 when, you know, when Owen passed away, and it was a similar feel because it's on live television, you know. It's very scary to know that, you know, someone of an icon like that, we could have lost right there on Monday Night Raw, right before a pay-per-view, right there in Montreal where Brett was, you know, the big guy that night. It really did throw off the show, which was definitely a shame because Raw was actually very good, you know, but everything has been overshadowed by this, you know, which, you know, give the talent credit for, you know, moving on, you know, that last hour.
Miz, what do you got to say about what happened last night?
Yeah, just like what Will said, right after that incident happened, like the rest of the show, it was just, it just took you completely out of it. Like what was happening was, you know, fun and entertaining, but it was just, you didn't care at that point. You just kept wanting to go back to Michael Cole so he can give you an update on what happened to Jerry Lawler. But it was just one of those surreal moments. Like, it's almost thankful that it happened live during the show because, God forbid, he would have been driving back to the hotel room or alone in his hotel room. We would have been hearing about this the next morning that, you know, he just didn't wake up. So thank God that the EMTs were there and they were successful in getting him to the hospital.
That's a great point, Midge. I was thinking the same exact thing. I instantly thought back to Macho Man Randy Savage. And I know he had a massive heart attack and he pretty much passed away instantly, but he was behind the wheel of a car, like you said. What if, you know? And if he happened to be sitting at the broadcast table or in a situation at an arena where there are EMTs right there standing by to administer CPR, I think that there might have been a possibility he could have survived as well. You never know that, but it's always possible.
It would have been a better chance.
Absolutely, and thank God, you know, thank God in my eyes that he was there at the Raw announce table and was able to get CPR and all the medical attention he needed right away. But I have another question to ask you guys, and we were talking about this on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Facebook page at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and in the group page, which you can always join at facebook.com/groups/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. But do you feel, Will, that the show should have went on? Because this is a hot topic debate right now. Should the show have gone on?
Absolutely. And here's why. You know, for people, okay, first off, people, you know, this was, it's one thing where it's happening to a talent, you know, in the ring at the time. You know, this was happening off camera. And to be honest, if you really didn't, you know, pay attention to it, you probably really didn't notice. I'll be honest, I didn't notice it at first. You know, I was really watching the match, which actually was pretty good, you know, and I was kind of wondering why the reactions weren't that high. But, okay, so, you know, someone, you know, it's like someone passes out at your wedding, you know, and you're the bride and you're the groom, and you're going to stop the whole wedding, you know, depending on who the person is. You know, it's really along the lines of, you know, they have a live show, they have a pay-per-view they still have to sell, they have a confrontation they've been advertising the entire show with John Cena to be coming on the TV with, they still have to sell a pay-per-view. And Jerry Lawler, knowing Jerry Lawler and most of the talent, I'm sure they would have said, listen, you got to keep going. Don't stop the broadcast for me. You know, and most people would say that. Just like if a wrestler gets injured, you know, you still have to have the show go on. You know, whether you change storyline or whatever it is, you know, I think people who are really looking really deep into this are morons because it doesn't make any sense. You know, you have to sell a pay-per-view this weekend. No matter what happened, you know, that's what they have to do. WWE has advertisers they have to pay. You know, these are things they have to continue doing. It's not a Chris Benoit situation where, you know, something more serious happened where there were deaths involved and, you know, it happened 2 hours or 3 hours before the show. You know, so it's a little bit of a different story. You can't just cut a broadcast off, especially a live feed. You just can't do it. You know, whether, you know, it has to be something a little more serious, I think, than that, even though that's pretty serious, but still.
Midge, what do you think about that? Should the show have gone on?
I do think the show have gone on. I don't particularly agree with Will's wedding analogy, but, you know, what are you going to do? I do like the way that they handled it, though. They did everything off camera. They took Jerry Lawler through the crowd, under the hard cam, so it wasn't on television. And then I liked the way that they handled it afterwards because, yes, the show needed to continue, but they were respectful to Lawler. They were respectful to Michael Cole the most, who was obviously a mess and could not continue doing his broadcast. So the rest of the show was done without a broadcast, even the little clips, the vignettes. So I thought they handled it as best as they could have, and it was everybody got what they needed. The show went on, and they paid respects to Lawler, and especially Michael Cole, who I think was an amazingly professional person last night, who held it together as much as he possibly could, and he delivered the news, and he was genuinely just in shock, and he still was able to managed to pull off what he did at the rest of the show. So I think that they handled it great.
I absolutely agree with you guys on the stance. The show needed to go on. They needed to perform. I'm sure every single wrestler that went into that ring, every single person that came out on that stage was shook by what had just happened. But I guarantee you that a lot of these guys, Jerry's co-workers, know that he's one tough son of a bitch. And he's proving that by fighting. You know, the human body, a lot of it has to do with the mind. If the mind goes, the body usually goes. Well, I'm sure Jerry's mind was still there fighting this, And he came back and he fought it, and he came back to life. Apparently he was, they said he was clinically dead for a few minutes. People are saying 20 minutes. I don't really buy that. That's a long time. But
yeah,
you know,
Hart Smith said that, so he's not too reliable.
Yeah, Hart Smith is nuts.
Smith Hart.
Yeah. I want to Smith Hart, yeah. I want to tell you guys about Stacey Carter, formerly known as the Cat, is Jerry Lawler's ex-wife. And earlier tonight, she issued a statement on her Facebook page, and I just want to read that to the audience if they haven't heard it, and you guys if you haven't heard it. So I quote Stacey Carter, "I have an update on Jerry. The docs are removing his ventilation and taking him out of sedation. He is responsive, which is great. It took a while to revive him last night, so there's the concern of brain damage. He had some tests done, which will show how much, if any, damage there is due to the lack of oxygen to the brain. Unfortunately, the results won't be in until tomorrow morning. I appreciate all the calls, texts, tweets, and Facebook messages of support, and I know Jerry will too. Thanks, everybody." That's good news, and it's, in a way, bad news, because that confirms the fact that there was oxygen loss to the brain, and there could be brain damage for Jerry King Lawler. And I'm going to take some calls right now, guys. I got a caller. It looks like the 773 area code. 773, you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, what's going on? I'm Gio from Chicago.
Hey, how you doing?
Jerry Lawler fan? What's going on?
Not a lot. What do you got to say about Jerry the King Lawler and what took place last night?
Man, you know what? It was a shock. I actually seen a couple of YouTube videos today, and, I mean, wow. I mean, I seen The Raw because I was at work. I recorded on DVR and stuff. But, man, I don't know. I'm still at shock, you know, watching those videos right now, you know. But just as I heard from you, is it possible Jerry Lawler won't ever be the same? Like, as far as, I'm pretty sure his in-ring career is over, but as far as broadcasting.
I believe that that's very possible, and thanks for your call. I feel like it's possible that he might be out of the WWE completely, depending on what exactly comes from these tests that were done. I mean, you don't really want to put a guy who just had heart surgery into a tense, you know, environment like that where you have to travel all over the country. You know, Jerry is over 6 years of age, and that kind of is a big factor in all of this. You know, Will, what do you think about that?
You know, I definitely think this, you know, it is a thing about a lot of the older timers who, you know, I don't know if it has something to do with his in-ring, you know, competition tonight that he was in, but, you know, it definitely played a part, I'm sure. You know, and this is where people, when they're at a certain age where you can't wrestle anymore, and this is why someone like Edge, who stopped wrestling after a very serious, you know, injury. And imagine guys who don't have, like, EMTs around or people who are wrestling independent and they're still in their upper age and they're still trying to wrestle. And they don't have, like, EMTs like WWE has or rush responses, you know. You know, when you see a movie like The Wrestler where the guy passes out, you know, what do you do in those situations, you know? You know, you really have to kind of, you know, really look at now when something like this happens. You know, it makes you really think. It makes you think about your own family. You know, it makes you think about what would happen if something like that happened to you. You know, Jerry, I think this will be. I think that was the end for Jerry Lawler. I really do think that was his last match. I don't think they're going to let him wrestle under these circumstances. As far as announcing goes, you know, he might throw in a towel. You know, they've been putting Josh Matthews on, you know, the commentary. They put Miz on. I think they were already in the way of Jerry kind of taking a back seat anyway, but this was like kind of like the nail in the coffin. No, I don't mean anything like that, but, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame to go up that way, but I'm hoping that, you know, he'll get better. You know, maybe he'll get some kind of tribute or something to come back, you know, at some point. But I think that now this is the time for Jerry to really, you know, relax. You know, he's done everything he needs to do, you know. He's done everything for us. So I think, you know, Jerry, you know, should really take the time off and really should just enjoy the rest of his life, especially after something like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's go to another caller. 732 area code, coincidentally enough, 732 is my area code. So 732, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, this is Seth from New York.
How you doing, Seth? What do you got to talk to about with PWP Radio tonight?
Well, I'm reading now JR's blog, and he, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but he talks about Jerry Lawler and what happened. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't.
No.
Yeah, we haven't seen it, so if you'd like to give us a little bit of it and let us know what JR talked about, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he talks about how healthy Jerry Lawler was, how he was in such great shape. He never smoked, never drank, and continued to wrestle on the indie circuit and be involved in the Memphis Softball League. Another interesting thing that JR mentioned was that Jerry's dad died of a heart attack at a young age. So this could, and he said this could very well have been a genetic situation and nothing, you know, wrestling related necessarily.
Wow, that's big news, and thank you for your call, Seth. We really do appreciate you giving us that update. Jerry Lawler having a history of heart problems in his family, that could very well be the factor, but a lot of people on the net are speculating that maybe the flight he wrestled in Aruba over the weekend, maybe the flight from Aruba to Canada had something to do with it. Maybe that ridiculous jumping elbow drop from Dolph Ziggler had something to do with it. Midge, what are your thoughts on what Jim Ross had to say about it running in the family? Is this the end of the in-ring career and WWE career of Jerry Lawler?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Jim Ross on his points that just because we didn't see Jerry Lawler in the ring week after week, that doesn't mean, you know, he wasn't active. He had his own Memphis wrestling that I'm pretty sure he wrestled twice a week at least, and then he had his softball. So Jerry Lawler, we never heard of him having any medical issues. So he was a healthy, middle-aged man. And if he didn't feel like he could get in the ring, I don't think they would have put him in the ring, or he wouldn't have gotten in the ring, or he wouldn't have taken those kinds of bumps. He was jumping off the second rope like, you know, like he was doing 20 years ago, like no problem. So I don't think that the wrestling had much to do with it, but like you said, it's a genetic freak thing that just happened to happen at the wrestling show. As far as his career, I hope it's not, but most likely it will be over. Hopefully he can do something like with I'm sorry about that. Hopefully he can do something with Jim Ross maybe at a WrestleMania, hopefully next year, some sort of comeback for a one-time event. But I don't think we'll see him back at the commentating booth. And if we don't see him back, who do you guys think should be his replacement? I don't see Josh Matthews as a long-term replacement for the Raw color commentator.
That's a great question.
And
they might go, with something for the short term, like they did with Miz last week. They might do something along those lines. They might start trying people out in Stamford, Connecticut.
What do you think about Jim Ross again?
I think that's a good idea, Miz. I think Jim might come back next week and help give us updates on Jerry and call our show Michael Cole. I think he's a good audible to call about that. What do you think, Will?
I think Josh Matthews is a very good commentator. I don't think he gets enough respect for it. He does a very good job. You know, he's a younger generation guy. He kind of goes what we're at now. You know, he's like kind of our age. You know, so I guess we can relate to him a little bit better. You know, where he is and, you know, how he talks. I think he's very good. I also think even Matt Stryker is very good. You know, I mean, I think Jim Ross, I think they got, you know, Michael Cole did such a great job that I think now, you know, it changes, I think, a lot of people's opinions of him, you know. But I think that a younger Josh Matthews or a younger talent on the mic can really, I think it could help the show, too.
For the long term, you're absolutely right about that, Will. I'm going to take one more call. We've only got about 5 minutes left in the show. But I'm going to take one more call on Jerry Lawler. 856 area code. What's your name? Where are you from?
What's up, guys? How you guys been?
I'm great. Who got on the line?
It's Will, man. What the hell? How you guys doing my commercial?
Ah.
I got to leave.
It's the radio voice, Will. It's the radio voice. I'm doing a million things over here behind the control panel. Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
I understand. I was playing around. But how you guys been? You guys doing
all right? We are doing fine, and I just want to let the audience know really quick. We have 5 minutes left in the live show, but it seems like we have a lot to cover, and if you guys are down, I'm down. We can go into overtime tonight. Blog Talk Radio provides us with about an hour overtime, so we can the live show will be cut off, but you can download it on iTunes, and you can listen on blogtalkradio.com in the future. You can listen to when we go into overtime talking about Monday Night Raw and Jerry Lawler. But, Will, while we got you, give us your take on last night's emotionally driven, devastating episode of Monday Night Raw.
I didn't see it, I shouldn't say, you didn't hear it live because I had my TV on mute, and I turned around, and I saw Judge Cole had that weird look on his face, like he was being serious. So I turned it on, and I realized what he was saying. Like, I'm like, oh, shit, you know, Jerry Lawler had a heart attack. It's fucked up. And I remember, like, you know, following, like everybody else, we were watching Raw just to see, just to get the updates, like, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I've known that you guys were right. Like, Jerry Lawler has wrestled. He wrestles, like, at least 2 or 3 times a week, at least in Memphis. So it wasn't like last night's match was the final nail in the straw. I'm sure there was other things going on. But I was thinking, I don't think he's going to do commentary anymore either, unless he can determine it's a freak thing, he just had a heart attack. Because the reason why Jim Ross doesn't do commentary is because they don't know, like, what triggers his Bell's palsy. It could be anything. So that's why they don't put him on live TV, just in case he has another attack. So you got to imagine that if Jerry Lawler, if it's found that he's going to have a heart condition for the rest of his life or something rather, you got to imagine we're never going to see him on commentary, at least not on a regular basis. Like maybe it's a special attraction, like him and Jim Ross, like, you know, cover the John Cena Rock rematch at WrestleMania or something. But more than likely, we're probably never going to see him on as a regular basis on Raw as a commentator ever again.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, Will, and that's something that's horrifying to me. It's really a sad story all around. But in a way, it's also uplifting. It's uplifting because he survived. He did not pass away last night. Jerry Lawler is recovering, as far as we know, and tests should be revealed tomorrow morning, according to Stacey Carter. We got a little over 2 minutes left. Just remember, folks, join us on iTunes. We're going to go into overtime tonight. The live show will be cut off in about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, roughly. So join us on iTunes. Go and rate us. Go and listen. Come back here to blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. We're going to take one more call, guys, and that is 661 area code. Thanks for calling, and thanks for holding as well. What's your name and where you're from? 661 area code.
That would be me. My name is Vicky.
Hey, it's nice to meet you. Where are you from, man?
Bakersfield, California.
Well, thanks for calling Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio from Bakersfield, California. We got about a little less than 2 minutes left. What do you got to say?
Well, I was just listening to what was just said. You know, just because Jerry Lawler had a heart attack doesn't mean that he won't be able to do any more commentary. I mean, they've got all kinds of medications to keep that kind of thing, under control.
Well, the big thing was the loss of oxygen to the brain. That's the main reasoning behind that.
That's what we're thinking, too. It's something where we're going to have to wait and see. The loss of oxygen to Jerry Lawler's brain
Yeah, I understand that because that's still in the air and nobody knows if or how much damage was done. And that
exactly.
could take, you know, quite a bit of time to find out.
No, you're absolutely right, and thank you for calling in. You brought up a great point. This might not necessarily mean the end for Jerry the King Lawler in the commentating booth. He could be right back there in a couple of months, but I don't think it's going to be something that happens right away, you know, and it'll take a long recovery process before the King gets back there live on Monday Night Raw. And, guys, we got about 45 seconds left in our live broadcast. Our buddy Will Brooks seems to have dropped out, so it's just us three for the rest of the show. Make sure you guys visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all the latest updates and information on what's going on in the wrestling business right now. We're always looking for writers and individuals that want to get their name out there. Please visit us on Twitter at TW Powerhouse and go to Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We have another caller, but I'm sorry, 203 area code. We won't have time to take it as we are going directly into overtime. So thanks for listening live on the radio. I want to thank Brett Titus. Thank you very much. Continue listening on iTunes. All right, guys, we're in overtime right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, and we spent a lot of the time talking about Jerry the King Lawler. But right now, you guys have any final thoughts on what took place? Will, any final thoughts on Jerry the King Lawler?
You know, it's just something that went terribly wrong, not planned, you know, and it was just, you know, WWE had a tough decision to make. They made the right call. You know, they stopped the commentary was dead for the rest of the night, which was actually very interesting to hear that also. It was just, and I don't want it to take down on the pay-per-view because this Raw, if that did not happen, this Raw was a really strong Raw, at least in my opinion. You know, they were building a pay-per-view up, and, you know, they were in Montreal. They had Bret Hart. They had so much on this show. And to have this, you know, really take down the mood, it's a shame because it just was a good Raw. You know, it was so fun to watch Bret Hart back in Montreal. It was a big show. The crowd was hot. And you know, this situation is really, you know, hurt, you know, Raw overall. And it's just, you know, one of those things you can't plan, just happens. You know, as we the phrase always says, you could die tomorrow. You know, and something serious could happen to you tomorrow. You don't know it. You know, and that was just one of those situations.
Mitch, what are your final thoughts on Jerry the King Lawler and this devastating situation that took place?
You know, I'm not one for feeling bad or sorry for celebrities or people that I just don't know. Like, some random actor was, you know, it would happen, you know, whatever. But Jerry Lawler is different. We've spent every Monday night with him for how many friggin' years. Like, you feel like you know him. So when something terrible like that happens, it actually, you feel it in your gut. And it's a weird feeling to feel something like that for somebody that you've never physically met. So just, you know, hoping Jerry Lawler pulls through and he becomes 100% again and walking around talking like never happened. And he can beat this thing. So Jerry, hope he's praying for you and everything. Hope you pull through for this.
Well, it looks like that's great, Midge. It looks like our caller, before we left the live broadcast, stayed with us. So I'd like to bring in 203 area code, 203. You're on with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's your name and where you're from?
How's it going, Jay? It's Graham in Connecticut.
Hey, Graham, how you doing? You can find Graham, everybody, at Save Us GSM and the Spoilers Podcast right here on blogtalkradio.com. Graham, we're not on the live show anymore, but this will be on blogtalkradio.com and iTunes after we're done. So what are your thoughts and what do you have to say about Jerry the King Lawler at this point?
Well, thanks for the plug, by the way. I do appreciate it. But I just did want to add one thing to what you were saying before. I've been listening to the entire show. Great show so far. I'd just like to give you that. But one question that I have for you guys. If Jerry Lawler was able to wrestle one more match, I know that's highly unlikely at this point, given the fact that he's 62 and the fact that he just had a heart attack. But if he was able to wrestle one more match after that tag team match that he had in Raw, I don't want that to be his last match. Personally, if he was able to wrestle one more match, who would his dream opponent be, in your opinion?
That's an absolutely great question. I'm going to throw it to Mr. TLD, Will Vasquez. Graham, stay in the line if you'd like. I'll keep you on for the duration if you'd like. But, Will, that's a great question from Graham. Who would you like Jerry Lawler to wrestle one last time?
Well, I think because there's not going to be a closure now to this, I think him versus CM Punk would be a nice little closure because they really didn't, you know, finish that off yet. They were still kind of in the heat of it. You know, if I had to put – I mean, I would like him to face Bret Hart because that was one of my favorite feuds of all time, but that can't happen. So I'm thinking realistically what he could do. And I think that's the only one that would make the most sense right now is probably that one.
Miz, what do you think?
This is like a really easy question for me. I would have to say, without a shadow of a doubt, Dolph Ziggler, for two reasons. One, just like Jay said, that elbow to his chest, you know, Dolph Ziggler, we don't know, he might be beating himself up over it. He might be, oh my God, did I do this? Did I trigger this? I'm so sorry, what is going on? So at least for some closure for Dolph Ziggler to, you know, put it behind him, I would want him to face Jerry Lawler again. And for the other reason, there's nobody on the roster that's going to put Lawler over better than Ziggler. So for those two reasons, I would have to go with him on that.
I like that. I like that idea of Dolph Ziggler, and I just want to make something clear here. If this does happen, if Jerry Lawler does have one more match, whether it's a Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view, if it's in the WWE, they should not, I repeat, should not use this as an angle. They shouldn't use this as a storyline in any way, shape, or form. If he has a farewell match down the road, it's tough to say who his opponent would be. I'd like it to be somebody with a lot of prestige, maybe even somebody like John Cena. It could be a situation like, I look at it when Ric Flair wrestled Triple H that one time in Charlotte back in 2003 or 2004, if you guys recall, where they paid homage to Ric Flair. And you knew that wasn't going to be his last match, but it was something where he was getting this World Heavyweight title shot, and he was actually Triple H's manager at the time. So I'd like it to be something where Jerry the King Lawler, you don't have to bring up the heart attack. You don't have to turn it into a storyline. It would be something where he'd get one more shot, one final match, and they just say one final match for Jerry Lawler. You know, and there doesn't have to be any heat surrounding it, and it doesn't have to be against CM Punk or Dolph Ziggler to close the storyline. I think it should be against maybe the biggest star, maybe John Cena. Maybe it's a tribute match. Who knows what would happen. But I really hope that does happen. And that's a great question by Graham. And right now, we're dedicating this show tonight to Jerry Lawler. We're dedicating this. He's not dead, all right? I'm not going to make it like he has passed away. But we want to just pray and hope for his full recovery. So the rest of the show, this entire show, is dedicated to Jerry King Lawler. Pull through, man. We really hope you do. I know you're not listening, obviously, but anybody who is, please pull through. We need you to pull through here. And let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. Let's talk about this build-up to Night of Champions, which you brought up before, Will, was pretty damn good last night. The promo between CM Punk and John Cena was one of the best promos I can remember in recent memory. What do you got to say about the build-up to this main event, Will, at Night of Champions? Punk, Cena, Bret the Hitman Hart. It was an angle that took place in the beginning of the show, ended at the end of the show. What do you got to say about it, Will?
That's how you build up, like, you know, Bret Hart was a good catalyst for this, you know, and John Cena brought up some great points that, you know, hey, we're supposed to see change, and we all did complain that CM Punk, nothing ever happened, and Cena finally brought that point up. You know, it really didn't happen, you know, and in the end, who really got everything out of it? The fans didn't get that CM Punk after the, you know, after the blow-up that he did on the microphone, the pipe bomb, because after that, it wasn't really much after that where CM Punk kind of died down. And John Cena made a very good point on, you know, hey, you did this for yourself. You didn't actually do anything when you did it. You know, a lot of great points were brought up by John Cena. And I got to tell you, you know, that's the John Cena I love to watch, when he speaks that way, because it's so true. Everything he said was really true. And, you know, CM Punk stole moves, stealing colors, you know, it's all true. And I wonder if now CM Punk's going to do something at Night of Champions where he maybe stops doing all those things and has something different about him. You know, I'm very curious on what is going to happen in this main event. It was built up really good. You know, I think it's been built up really good the whole way. And, you know, with Paul Heyman in his corner, even though Paul Heyman didn't say anything, just having Paul Heyman in his corner, you know, makes him such an evil, you know, CM Punk now, which I think is even more part of it.
That whole dynamic definitely added to it, Paul Heyman being a part of CM Punk's character now. And, Graham, I'm going to shoot it to you, man. I've been reading a lot of your articles on Bleacher Report and WrestleEnigma.com, which is another website that Pro Wrestling Powerhouse is now working with. And I just want to say, I didn't bring it up tonight because we had a lot on the table. This Saturday afternoon, it's going to be the debut of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Presents the SmackDown Rundown. And, Graham, you might be one of the co-hosts of that show. And I just want to let you know that I really appreciate that. But what are your thoughts on the CM Punk-John Cena promo at the end and the build-up towards their title match at Night of Champions?
Most definitely the highlight of the show for me. The opening segment and the closing segment were definitely the best parts of the show and the saving grace of it. I know you guys are saying it was a very good Raw, aside from the Jerry Lawler situation. I very much agree. This was definitely the highlight of it and definitely the closing show angle going into Night of Champions. I don't think Night of Champions and the feud between John Cena and CM Punk was very well built in preceding weeks, but tonight they really drove it home, or last night rather. They really, really drove home, and they really got me excited for the upcoming matchup. They really didn't make it feel special in previous weeks, so I was really, really glad to see that they did it on Monday. John Cena, and as you guys were just saying, I completely agree with everything you just said, and the fact that John Cena intensity, we don't see that all that often, so it was a very special moment. I love that. If you kind of listen to what he was saying, it's kind of, I hate to use the word buried, but from what he was saying, it sounded like he was burying burying CM Punk in his WWE Championship reign. He said that CM Punk's WWE Championship reign of the last 300 days was irrelevant. I thought that was a bit far-fetched. I think that's the farthest thing from the truth. But nonetheless,
I think
like
it's
John
true.
So.
Go ahead, Will.
What'd
I'm sorry.
Say?
No, I think it's true. I mean, honestly, I mean, CM Punk was not the topic of the talk, you know, for WrestleMania. He was not the topic when, you know, the Big Show storyline was going on Big Show. You know, there were things, you know, CM Punk never headlined a match, and there is a reason for that because CM Punk is not a draw like John Cena. He will always be number two to John Cena, and that will be the case forever until something just happens where Cena is going to be overpowered at some point where he just doesn't have the power anymore to stop this another individual who's getting so popular, and Punk wasn't the guy, and that's why he's heel, because they need a top heel in the company, and they really didn't have one. I mean, Alberto Del Rio is like the only real top heel in Big Show. So you take a guy who's number two, you make him number one, but you make him number one as a heel. And now that he has this heel persona, he's going to get that main event push that he's been asking for. And it's going to work out really great because you got two sides of the audience now, once again, going back and forth. I don't mind seeing a John Cena versus CM Punk feud all the time because I think there's a great dynamic and there's so much truth in the storyline that I think we all can adapt to it and understand it, and it's enjoyable to watch because you don't know what's going to happen on Night of Champions. It's a 50-50 toss-up.
That's a great point, Will. I feel like CM Punk is taking the ball and running with it. That babyface spot, that number one spot in the babyface division of WWE is always going to be John Cena, and the heel side is kind of lacking in recent months. The Miz has kind of been lacking. I know you love The Miz, Will, but he's been kind of lacking in that department.
Oh, he's not been up there either. I admit that.
Yeah, Alberto Del Rio has been a bit of a disappointment, but CM Punk is taking the ball and running with it. Mitch, what do you think about that? CM Punk being the top heel in the company so he can go on and wrestle a guy like The Rock, wrestle Cena this Sunday on pay-per-view. What are your thoughts about CM Punk being the number one heel in WWE?
Actually, this is probably going to be the last thing before I got to go. But I think CM Punk set the matchup and his future up perfectly in the ring with Bret Hart and Cena last night when John Cena and Bret Hart compared their current feud to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and CM Punk came out and said, "You're wrong. I'm nothing like Shawn Michaels. I'm better than Shawn Michaels. I'm better than Bret Hart. I'm better than Stone Cold. I'm better than The Rock." So he's setting himself up for, you know, future, anything they want to do. Because CM Punk, when he says he's the best in the world, he doesn't mean he's the best there is. He means he's the best there ever was and the best there ever will be. He means it. So that sets him up to be a heel just in the cockiness factor. And
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Midge, that's a very good point that you brought up. That was the one thing I think that really made me not like that guy, that he took a bunch of the top stars in the company's history and said, I'm better than every single one of them. And that's a huge
thing. He took every guy that could come back anytime they want that would get a rounding standing applause and said, screw them, I'm better than them.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. It was a great promo by CM Punk in the beginning of the show with Bret Hart. Absolutely phenomenal work as always. And Midge, I do appreciate you calling in, man. You said that was it tonight. That's the last question.
Look, Jay, I got one more thing to say. One more thing.
Go ahead. You don't have to.
The man that is constantly selling pay-per-views is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman in CM Punk's corner doesn't make it another John Cena CM Punk match. It makes it that X factor. Why is Paul Heyman out there? We still don't know. What's he going to do? Are we going to see Brock Lesnar again? You know that it's not going to just go in his corner and cheer for him. You know that's not the case. It can't happen. It won't happen. Something is going to come out of Paul Heyman being there, and that is the sole reason that I want to see this pay-per-view and watch what happens.
Well, thanks a lot, Miz, for joining us. We do appreciate it. And you're right. Paul Heyman, he showed up last night on Raw briefly. It wasn't something where he talked. There's still a lot of mystery and intrigue about what's going to happen there with Paul Heyman and CM Punk. And it's something that I cannot wait to see how it develops. I really think there could be some kind of power trip in the future where CM Punk aligns himself with Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman by their side. But we'll have to wait and see on that. But right now, while I got Will and Graham with me on the line, let's do our Night of Champions predictions. Night of Champions is this Sunday, and I want to start off with this pre-show battle royal to determine who will fight Antonio Cesaro on the pay-per-view. I want to know, who do you guys think will win this pre-show battle royal? Will, I'm going to go to you. Who will win and who will go on to face Antonio Cesaro?
I could see, if I had to pick three people that, I mean, they could throw a surprise in there. They did that with Christian. So I could see a Christian possibility, but I know they're trying to keep him off with that whole TNA thing going on. But I could definitely see either Zack Ryder pulling that one off. I could see that happening. It won't hurt him because he gets a victory. You know, he's already wrestled a match, and then he's going to fight, you know, the United States champion. I could see him being probably my top pick from who I could see fighting him. I mean, obviously, Santino would be the other one.
Graham, who do you think is going to win the pre-show battle royal and go on to take on Antonio Cesaro for the United States Championship?
I think Zack Ryder would be a brilliant choice as well. Anybody but Santino at this point, he already got his rematch, so I'm really, really hoping that this battle royal isn't a waste of time and Santino wins. My personal pick, a returning Ted DiBiase. He hasn't been seen since March. He's a former Marine in the movie, obviously not an actual Marine, but he is the perfect representation of America. You put the U.S. title on him. I'm not saying that he's going to win the U.S. Championship on Sunday, but as long as he's contending for the U.S. Championship against Antonio Cesaro, he's talking about you there, and boom, DiBiase right in a meaningful spot upon his return.
That's a great point. I'm not sure how far along Ted DiBiase is in returning, but my prediction, get this, I think it should be the Big Show. Where the hell is the Big Show been? You know what I mean? Big Show has been off TV quietly for weeks
on
end.
He's been touring, I think.
He's been touring
with the media.
Well, if he's been touring, then that's that. But Big Show hasn't been around. I think it's about time they bring him back. He'd be a good choice. And another choice I would have is Jack Swagger. He kind of left AJ hanging last week on Raw. And he could come back and win this battle royal and go on to face Antonio Cesaro, maybe even starting a feud. Maybe Jack Swagger will be a babyface to freshen up a little bit. Only time will tell, but those are my two choices. Now we're going to go to the Divas Championship match between Layla and Caitlin. Will, who do you think is going to take this one?
Oh, Layla's going to win. I mean, they're building Eve up to do this, you know, pretending to helping them, so it's pretty obvious that, you know, Eve is going to be the one that is going to get this back because, you know, she won that Stars and Stripes thing, even though it didn't last long on TV, but she still won it. You know, so it's still a thing to have on her resume. You know, I think they're going to put the Divas title on her eventually. It just seems like Caitlin just got it because she got it, you know, just to give her, like, a little bit of a rub.
Ram, what do you think?
If they don't add Eden even to this match beforehand, because they do have a possibility or a strong feeling that they might add her in on SmackDown this week or possibly on the website because they've been known to do that beforehand, then yes, I'm going to most definitely have to go with Layla here. She's been holding the championship since April. I think it's more than likely that she will retain here. If Caitlyn wins, it doesn't really matter because, as you guys were just saying, it's very, very likely that Eve will just go on to win the championship anyway. So, yeah, she's my ultimate pick at the end.
And I'm going to side the new guys with 3-for-3 on this. Layla's going to win, and I think Eve will be the end game for Layla. I think Eve will eventually regain that Divas Championship. But I want to backtrack it just for 1 second. I thought while you guys were talking, I was thinking about this pre-show Battle Royal, and I just want to throw Ryback's name into the hat here. Ryback's dominant. If he's in this Battle Royal, he's winning it. That's all I'm saying right now. If he is one of the participants, he's going to win. But moving along, Tag Team Championship match that was made last night on Raw, and this match was the match that was going on when that tragic incident happened with Jerry Lawler and the heart attack. But Tag Team Champions R-Truth and Kofi Kingston will defend against Daniel Bryan and Kane, who have been a bright spot on Raw and SmackDown the past few weeks. What's your prediction on this match, Will?
It's Team Friendship. You got to remember that.
To me, it's Daniel Bryan and Kane. They argued about it, but I'm always going to go with Daniel Bryan and Kane on this.
Yeah, I know they argued about it, but then the doctor came up with Team Friendship. I'm telling you right now, that name for those, if you put a T-shirt on it, you would buy it. It's just a silly name, but it makes so much sense with what their storyline is. It's how I would buy that T-shirt if they call themselves Team Friendship. But I think it's a shame because the primetime players, even their backstage thing, it was really good. You know, those guys are really good. You know, it's a shame that they didn't have enough time to build it up because I think primetime players should have beaten Kofi and, you know, maybe they should have won the tag belts, the primetime players, and then lost it to Daniel Bryan and Kane. I think this way, if now we don't know who the heel team or the face team is. I mean, clearly it's Kane and, you know, Daniel Bryan are the heel team in this match, but, you know, I think it hurts, you know, because they're going to be baby faces anyway in the end of the day. You know, it just, they're so over right now as a couple. You know, it's amazing. But WWE, you know, sometimes WWE trash creative about some of the stuff they do. But this one, they hit a home run. They hit a grand slam on this one. And I definitely see Team Friendship winning.
I have to agree with you there. Graham, what do you think? Team Friendship versus Kofi Kingston and R-Truth for
Thank
the World
you.
Tag Team Championships.
Team Friendship all the way. I've been calling for this for weeks. So when they first announced, or they were reporting on the dirt sheets that they were going to do Kane versus D-Bry at Night of Champions, I was extremely disappointed. I want to see them go for the WWE Tag Team Championships. So, so glad they're going to end up going for the titles. The impromptu choice made this past Monday night to put them in the contention for the championships. Obviously, the division hasn't meant anything in forever. I know they were trying to rebuild it with the primetime players. Obviously, that's not working since the whole AW incident failed. So I'm glad they're finally putting a meaningful team in the division. As you were saying before, Will, who's going to be the heel team in this? Probably Kane and D-Bry. I wouldn't say that they're a heel team or a face team. I think they're more of a tweener because Kane goes back and forth and Bryan just gets that. He just gets such a major reaction. These guys are going to be such an entertaining duo. Ultimately, they might lose it to Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio at one point. I think that's what was being reported, what's being scheduled. It's drawing things out a little too far at this point. But Kofi Kingston and R-Truth have done absolutely nothing as WWE Tag Team Champions. They're good singles competitors. I like both guys, but they do nothing for me as a tag team. So, yes, most definitely Team Friendship for the win here.
Let's go with the next match here on the card. Looks like Randy Orton is taking on Dolph Ziggler. These two have been feuding for the better part of September so far. They've been going back and forth, trading wins, trading losses. And once again, they also were involved with Jerry the King Lawler last night in that tag team match. So, Will, this seems to be the rubber match in the recent past, because they have fought a ton of times in the distant past. But this is a rubber match. What do you think is going to happen between Orton and Ziggler? Will Ziggler get this huge win on pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think Orton's going to win because, in the end, Dolph Ziggler has one thing to hold him, and that is the briefcase. No matter how many matches that guy loses, he has that briefcase.
So I think that Orton will win because he needs some steam. And I think that Alberto Del Rio feud is going to kind of come to an end soon, you know, with Sheamus. And they can't do so many more matches anyway, with, you know, with those two. But, you know, Sheamus actually, by the way, just to give a little credit, he did do a very good job on that skit on Raw. But we talk about it. I'll go more into that later. But, yeah, so I think Randy Orton's going to win. I mean, Randy Orton's been very strong the last few weeks. And it's good to see him back, honestly. I really do like watching him.
Yeah, you're right. We'll get to Sheamus in just a moment. But, Graham, what do you think? Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler this Sunday on pay-per-view?
Extremely tough choice. I'm down the middle with this one. Ultimately, I'm going to have to go with Dolph Ziggler. Randy Orton has been getting most of the momentum lately. The only momentum that he hasn't gotten when he lost to Ziggler last Monday night, but that's the only time that I can recall that Dolph Ziggler actually got a victory over Orton or any momentum over the Viper whatsoever. So I'm going to have to go with Ziggler here. Booking 101 just calls for it. But if Dolph Ziggler cashes in the briefcase at Night of Champions following the World Heavyweight Championship match, that would usually mean that Orton goes over Ziggler and then Ziggler cashes in later in the night. That would make the most sense. But if he doesn't cash in, then Ziggler will probably win here. So I'm going to have to go with Dolph Ziggler to win here, and Orton takes some time off to film his new 12 Rounds 2 movie or whatever he's going to be filming soon.
Well, if that's the case, this is the first time I'm hearing about Orton going into filming a movie. But if that is the case, maybe that's why Orton has been putting over so many guys recently. And I'm going to go and break this tie between you two, and I'm going to say that Randy Orton is going to win this match, and that is because Dolph Ziggler, like you said, Will, has that X Factor. He has the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't think he'll cash it in the Night of Champions, but he has it by his side. And as we all saw with Daniel Bryan last year, that is a wild card. You're not going to suffer any momentum loss from a defeat at this point in time. So I think Randy Orton's going to take this match. And we have two more matches left reported on the card right now. And Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio. It's a feud that has been going on for fucking ever, it seems. This just will not end. This issue is going on. They banned the bro kick, which I don't fucking
care. Here comes Durant.
Yeah, Sheamus has...
Okay.
He has many big moves. So, Will, let's get your prediction on Sheamus and Del Rio this Sunday night.
I did like the fact of banning the bro kick. I think that's an interesting idea of throwing it out there. And I like Dave Otunga's role in it. You know, I thought the skit, like I said, I thought the skit was really good. You know, it showed a little bit of comedy, but I really did like the comedy they actually did on this one. You know, this time Sheamus was just being like, he don't really care because he likes the bro kick so much. But now with they put the, you know, the stipulation that he'll lose his belt, you know, don't be surprised if Sheamus loses the belt by vacancy. You know, there might be a vacant title. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I could see that happening on this show.
Yeah, Graham, go ahead. What's your prediction on Del Rio and Sheamus?
If it was to happen, if he was to use the bro kick and get the title vacated, that is very well possible. But I honestly think this is a huge rehash of the Edge-Dolph Ziggler storyline that they did last year over the World Heavyweight Championship when Edge accidentally used a spear when Vicky Guerrero was looking. They vacated the championship. Dolph Ziggler held it for, what, all of 15 minutes, then Edge ended up winning it back. So if they were going to end up doing that, I think that's very possible. I can definitely see that happening with Del Rio and Sheamus. My only complaint about this feud as to what you were saying before, this feud will be utterly meaningless unless they have Del Rio win once. Is it going to be Sunday? I have no idea. But I do see this feud being stretched out to Hell in a Cell in some way, some form, some fashion. Sheamus losing the championship here via vacancy, that makes the most sense. I don't see Del Rio pinning him 1-2-3 to win the championship, but ultimately I'm going to have to go with Sheamus winning here, retaining. I don't know if they do the vacancy thing on the pay-per-view, but yeah, ultimately I'm going to have to go with Sheamus winning here and ultimately an ending at Hell in a Cell in a few weeks because this feud, as you said before, just has to end. It's just been going on for way too long since head after WrestleMania 28 over 5 months ago. It needs to end now.
Well, you're absolutely on to something there, Graham, and I'm going to have to go with Alberto Del Rio winning this match and winning the World Heavyweight Championship because this feud needs to end, and it will end in Hell in a Cell next month. I feel like something fishy is going to happen, something screwy. Ricardo's going to be involved. David Otunga is going to be involved. I don't think it's going to be a three count. I think for some reason, maybe Sheamus passed out from the pain. maybe moxing the cross arm breaker, and that's the end of Sheamus. But I feel like Alberto, somehow, in some kind of screwjob fashion, is going to win the World Heavyweight Championship, only to drop it back to Sheamus next month at the Hell in a Cell, where nobody can get in. There won't be any David Otunga or Ricardo Rodriguez involvement inside the cell. And who knows, with anything goes rules, maybe the bro kick is reinstated. Maybe they find a loophole in the storyline. We all know that WWE does that all the time. They always find something that, to the common man, doesn't make any sense. But in wrestling, they can kind of get away with it. So we're going to wrap up right now with the final match on the card. This will be the undoubtable main event for Night of Champions. John Cena will take on CM Punk for the WWE Championship in his hometown of Boston. And a lot of people are speculating about the crowd reaction. We all saw what happened on Raw last night, where the crowd was actually against CM Punk most of the time, which has not been the case lately. So what do you think is going to happen in this match? Well, the dynamic is going to be weird. It's going to be a crazy scene at Night of Champions. Who is going to walk out with the WWE Championship?
See, I think they, unlike Chicago, where I think Chicago would have probably really ripped down on the, if CM Punk did not win the title at that pay-per-view, it probably would have been a riot. This is not that case. I think that CM Punk will continue having the title. It doesn't make any sense for Cena to win it. I think they should continue on with their feud, because remember, we still have to wait for The Rock at the Royal Rumble. So it's one of these two guys. And they have to find different ways of how to mix this feud up. I think this feud can go all the way to the Rumble, because the winner wants to fight The Rock, and both guys want to fight The Rock. So in my eyes, I think this feud can go on for a long time. You can add teams, you know, Survivor Series, you can have a team element to it. You can have a tag element to it, because now Brock Lesnar, you know, can be brought back in. Triple H can be brought back in. And that'd be an interesting two-on-two match. You know, there's a lot of great things they could do with this, and I think CM Punk keeping the title is going to be significant to have him as a year-long champion. I think they're going to keep going that route. I don't know how he's going to pull it off, but I think, you know, I don't think he's going to legitimately beat him. But who knows? Maybe he will. I don't know. He'll use the ropes, he'll use the tights, whatever he'll do.
Great point you bring up there, Will Graham. What do you think about CM Punk defending against John Cena this Sunday at Night of Champions?
It is a good point.
Since this match was first announced, I originally believed that John Cena would end up winning the WWE Championship here. It was in his hometown. CM Punk was getting momentum for weeks, so it seemed pretty obvious that I was 100% guaranteed on the fact that John Cena would win on Sunday. However, after what happened on Monday, in the ending segment with John Cena getting better of CM Punk and saying that he hasn't held a championship since, I believe, last October or something along those lines, I think that CM Punk will retain here. Given the fact that it's in John Cena's hometown, sure, they're not 100% going crazy for John Cena, as you've seen in times past, that they don't go all berserk like they do. Like Chicago does for CM Punk, Boston doesn't do the same thing for Cena. But I will say that having CM Punk go over here via dirty tactics or not, more than likely, yes. They didn't mention Paul Heyman on Raw either during the promos with John Cena, the tag team match, but when he was face-to-face with John Cena, Paul Heyman wasn't there. So I would assume that on Sunday, Paul Heyman helped CM Punk win. That helps put even more heat on CM Punk. So I think it's going to help build around the fact that he's, you know, a newly established full-fledged heel. So you're going to have to go CM Punk still WWE champion after Night of Champions.
I have to agree with you guys there, especially you, Graham. I feel like Paul Heyman will get involved. He will be in CM Punk's corner, maybe not the entire match, but he'll make his way down to ringside. You can bet your bottom dollar he will be there, and he will help CM Punk retain the WWE Championship. But I really think there is a possibility that John Cena could gain it at some point before the Royal Rumble. I mean, we know The Rock's getting the title shot at the Royal Rumble, and I don't know. Is WWE going to be hypocritical? Will they have John Cena versus The Rock again? They said it was Once in a Lifetime. They just released this DVD entitled Once in a Lifetime. But maybe they mean Once in a Lifetime at WrestleMania. That's another logical point that WWE just doesn't really take into consideration. They kind of just go with the flow. And if they got to do Cena Rock again, they'll do it again. It made mega money last year. So I personally think it's going to be CM Punk versus The Rock at Royal Rumble. I think Punk is going to retain the championship. I think that is the point. they want Punk to hold his belt for as long as possible. I'm not sure if The Rock's going to win that match. I guess we'll talk about it when we get there. But right now, I just want to wrap this show up. We've got way into overtime, and it's been a terrific show. I want to thank Rhett Titus. You want to check out Titus TV at www.youtube.com/RhettTitus. You want to check out Titus TV, you want to check him out on Twitter at RhettTitusANX. So thank you, Rhett Titus. ROH is going to be this Saturday night live on iPay-Per-View from Chicago. It'll be Death Before Dishonor 10, State of Emergency. Matt Hardy will be in the building. Rhett will be joining forces with Charlie Haas in the Tag Team Title Tournament. And it's going to be a big show, so check that out. And I want to thank Midge. I want to thank Will Brooks, my man TLD, Will Bacidas, and Graham for joining us here tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Make sure you check out the SmackDown Rundown, the debut episode, this coming Saturday at 3 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. It's a brand new show that will highlight SmackDown, and we'll also talk about what is going to take place at Night of Champions this Saturday afternoon. So please go and listen to that. And thank you to the callers. Thanks for everybody for joining us tonight. We do appreciate it. Have yourself a great night. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can, and visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Thank you very much, and keep it real, everybody. What?